You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged. We're so excited you decided to join us. Make sure you go over and leave those five-star reviews. If you like this, go over and listen to our other podcasts, like the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast or High School Hoops or Funnel Down Defense or Coaching Youth Hoops or whatever one of the seven in our network that you would like to listen to. But before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. They are always, what I love about Dr. Dish is they're always innovating. They're always making that a little bit better, and that's why I think they're the best machine out there. We, like I've said before, we own three of them, and I would not be talking about them every day if I did not believe them. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $450 off, and they'll give you A1 customer service. And then also, what helps keep the lights on, what helps keep everything moving, is teachhoops.com. It's for coaches who want to get better. It is a one-stop shop by a basketball coach for a basketball coach. I'm always working with my team 365 days a year, working on making us better. And I want to do the same thing for you. I'm giving you resources, one-on-one calls, office hours, a roadmap per se that will help you become a better coach. And we offer a 14-day free trial because I believe you should come in and kick the tires around and see if it's right for you. If it's not, that's fine. But I guarantee that you're going to love it. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, so man, I just want to thank you for letting me join your group. I hear your podcasts. I just started hearing them, and I like what you have, and I just need some help.
Okay, no problem. That's why I do it. No problem.
How much time do I have?
As much as you need. I got a conference call with my. This, you'll love this. I have a conference call with my coaches in about 45 minutes, but I think we'll be done by then.
Because
we got our big rival on Friday. Whatever you have, go ahead, shoot away.
I have my notes, but one of our biggest problems right now, well, let me ask you a couple. We have a game at 1 p.m. today, Pacific Standard Time.
Okay.
And I just want to go over a couple of things that I think have been an issue. One is, how do you deal with a big man? Let me tell you about my starting team. Starting team is 5'9", 5'10", 5'9", 6'1".
Okay. Okay.
All right. Maybe 6'1". They're probably both 6 feet.
Okay.
So
I usually take off. When people tell me heights, I usually take off an inch or two.
There you go.
That means you're pretty tiny. Yeah,
we're tiny. We're tiny, and I have two varsity returners.
Okay.
Despite that, we were 12-4 10 days ago, and now we're 12-7.
Okay.
So we've lost three out of our last four games. So what I did with this team was basically, because of my size and because I do have athletes, I teach at kind of an inner city school.
Okay.
I coach in an inner city school. I do have some quick guys. Only have like, I think of that whole starting group, I don't think anybody's ever played club basketball. So we take rec players and we try to do the best we can with them.
Okay.
But they're athletic. And so what I try to do is give them all kinds of weapons to use. Man, zone, 1-2-2, 1-3-1, 3-2, any, you know, anything we can do to disrupt another team because of our size and what I'm dealing with.
Yep.
What our team is dealing with. Yep. So here's a question. The first question is, how do you deal with a team who has a big 6'7" and they have two outside shooters? How would you defend that?
Okay, so let's go back. We'll come back to that for a second. So I think you're doing the right thing with causing chaos with a size like this. Do you have an assistant coach?
I have two assistant coaches. Okay. One is always there. The other one kind of shows up every once in a while. And that's kind of been new to me because he's actually just to give you a little background. I heard your podcast. I know you think the best thing to be is on campus, but I'm an off campus coach, and in California, basically in my county, pretty much everybody's off campus.
Okay. Okay.
It's a different world out here.
You're in San Diego.
Yeah. And my kids are all grown up. I'm actually a physician. I'm a doctor.
Okay.
And I've been coaching high school ball for many years. This is probably my 16th year, but I was mostly an assistant, or okay, I did JV. So this is my second year at the program. I took over a program that won 4 games before I got there, the season before, 4-24. Last year, we won one more game. We won 5-23.
Okay. And year you're doing great this year. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think my scheduling was a lot smarter too.
Right.
So I have a teacher who's a middle school teacher who's my assistant, and he tries to be there almost always. He's very dependable.
Okay.
The other guy was somebody who's a teaching assistant at the school, and this guy played semi-pro ball, and he's a good guy, but I just don't think he has the time for it. But
he's spread too thin. I've had a few of those too. That, I mean, yeah, they're trying to do the right thing. So the reason I ask is I like what you're doing with causing chaos. Well, let me ask one more question before I give you a couple things. Can your guys shoot?
No.
Okay.
I have one out of that. I have, okay, here it is. I have two guys that can shoot. One of them is shooting. He's probably scoring over 20 points a game. He's a sophomore. He's one of the 5'9" guys.
Okay.
He can shoot. He's a gifted shooter.
Okay.
He's gifted. He's elite.
Yep.
And then I have another guy who's one of my 6-foot forwards who we had to move him inside because we had nothing. I mean, right, he's thick. He's built like a man. He right, can shoot. But the problem is when I put him outside, he'll maybe hit 1-3 a game, even though he's way gifted to be able to shoot more, but he just doesn't. I don't know why.
You got
to
give him. Okay. So a couple things with that. So I would give each one of them, like, there's kids on my team that have a green light. There's kids in my team that have a yellow light. And there's kids in my team that have a red light. And then they know where those green, red, and yellow lights work. So I'd give the one kid the green light. I'd give the other one the green light when he's open. And he won't do it. He won't do it. Okay. So the reason I ask that is I think the changing up is perfect. When do you change up? There's a reason I asked about the assistant coaches, but when do you change up? Like, when do you go from your man to your 1-3-1 or your 1-2-2?
Okay. So let's say we start off in man.
Okay.
I'm going to try to think back at Tuesday's game. We started off in man, but their guard, and that had two main questions for you today. Besides, I'd love to talk to you forever, but
yeah,
I know it's not possible. But two of the questions, and I was just thinking about them for future, is one, they had a very good guard who was penetrating, and we switch. We run SOS. Are you familiar with the SOS defense?
No.
Basically, it's a switching defense. We switch. Okay. And so these guys were ball screening, and their guy, we have a really good guard. I mean, he's an athlete. He's a Division I football player recruit. He's already got an offer. He's one of the athletes I'm talking about.
Okay.
And he could take this guy, but we switch. And I have other athletes, but they just couldn't handle this guy. And he would just penetrate. And so when I saw that, I switched to a 1-2-2. Okay, you want to drive? Look what you can do. that stymied them for a while, but then they kind of figured it out. So yep. Then I went with, you know, 2-3. For a little bit, that didn't work so good because then their outside shooters were finding it. So,
there's a couple things. You should have switching and non-switching into your
I haven't.
That's the first thing you should put on your notes, because that's something worth battling with now is, you know, how do we handle ball screens? How do we do this? Do we, you know, it's easier for them. Absolutely. It's easier for them if you're always switching or always not switching. But I think of it as a counter, just like going to a zone. It just gives me another tool in my toolbox. That's the first thing. So I would have one of those assistants track. What we do is if a team scores on us three straight times, we're out of it. We're changing.
Hold on. Let me write that down.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I want to hear it. Three straight times and we're out.
Yeah, three straight times in a row. So here's what happens is your instinct, your gut instinct, and I've coached a long time and I'm still wrong sometimes. Like, I'll look at my assistant, I go, we should change defenses. And he goes, Steve, we've stopped them six straight times. So that means I'm feeling something else, like we're not running our offense, we're not doing this. So I'm a stats. I teach statistics. I teach AP stats in high school. So I'm always thinking numbers. Sometimes the number, your head does not follow the numbers. So if you can have someone track like the number of times that they score, or what they're scoring in. So at halftime, you can look. While there were five possessions, they scored three times against 2-3. They score. You know, we had six possessions in switching man. And they scored once. You know, when we weren't switching, they scored four times out of seven, whatever it is. So it's data for you to look at, especially at halftime or during the game. That will help a lot, I'm telling you.
Track. So basically have an assistant track.
It's easy. When they score. Yep. What you're in. So go on Google Sheets or Excel or something and just put every defense you have. And then they should just a make or a miss. And then they should just, it's easy. It's not like you're asking them to do even a shot chart. It's easy. They'll know what you're in defensively and did the team score or not score. And then you have a column for fast breaks or off turnovers or something that aren't actually you're not in defensive sets. Because those always kind of freak people out to keep the chart.
Say that one more time. I missed that little part. What did you say right now?
Yep. So you have columns for all your defenses, but then you have to have a couple extra columns, one for like turnover, scoring off a turnover, scoring off a transition where maybe you don't get your defensive set. When people are keeping that chart, it freaks them out the first time because, ooh, what was that? Well, it was in transition, or we turned the ball over at half court and they scored. Well, you're not really in your 2-3 or your 1-3-1 or your man. So that goes in a different column. You just want to keep track of those, track of makes and misses and stuff like that. That will really help you as far as when to change. And I think you did the right thing with the guy that was scoring and getting to the rack. The only thing is I would think there's times where we stick on guys. There's a guy we're playing Friday that we're still trying to figure out exactly how we're going to defend him. But even if we're in man, I don't think we're going to leave him ever. Like, that, the guy that's guarding him never leaves. Like, everyone else can switch, but he ain't, you know. So it's something you got to practice. You know, we'll get one of those, like, colored pennies or something in practice and put it one of the other guys that we're going 5-on-5 against. So we always know where that person is so we can work on that. Because, again, with high school kids, they just need reps and they need, you know, here's why we're doing this. Here's how we do it. You know, all that kind of stuff. So your question about the big. What was your question about the big?
Yeah. So what about this today, Coach?
Yeah.
Let me go back to this kid. Yeah. So let's pretend we have a guy today. I don't think they have this kind of player, but let's pretend today they have a guy. I have my athlete. I'm just going to say to the rest of the team, he's not switching. He's going to go around it. He's athletic enough that I don't even think I need to practice it. He'll just go through.
I think you do that. I think because he probably either. I mean, is the kid? Can this kid shoot a three off the dribble?
The first half he couldn't hit nothing. The second half, not only was he driving, now he was shooting from the outside. I was like, he hit two threes. 2 threes in the second.
So the question is, what you have to worry about is whether you go under the screen or over the screen. And if they're really good, you got to try to step over it.
Okay.
Because then you don't want him to, you know, turn that corner and pop, but you're the guy that's getting, if someone's getting screened, then they just got to help for a second. If he's quick enough, it's literally a millisecond. Just help for a second. Let me step over it. You know, and then we really talk about that hand as your antenna to feel where that screen's coming from, you know, feel where that screen's coming from. And that will help a lot, I think.
Are you saying to hedge a little bit?
Yeah, just a little bit.
For a second. Okay.
Just for a second. Because if he's a scorer, he ain't looking past first probably, unless he's elite.
We're not playing anybody like that.
No. So he's looking.
But he's good.
He's good, but he's looking to score. So that means you want to take the score away. And then very few high school kids can hit that role well and consistently. And the ones that do are pretty elite. It's a hard pass. You know, that they're rolling to the basket. So I wouldn't even worry about that. I would help on him. So that's what I would sell is, like, you're going to go over, your teammate's going to help you until you're back on him, and then the one that helped is going to go find his guy, wherever he went.
Okay. So we need to work that on that on practice on Wednesday.
Yep. Yeah, okay. For sure.
All right.
So 5 minutes. If he's athletic enough, it'll be 5 minutes. You know, if he's athletic enough to get over, it'll be 5 minutes.
But here's the question. Like, I need to teach all of them to do that, right?
You do. But only on that one guy, right? You're going to switch on everything else? But yes, eventually you're going to have to do the non-switching stuff. Yes. That's a longer term. That's going to take a couple practices. You know, they've probably played recreationally a lot.
A lot.
And kids don't switch much when they're playing recreationally. They're better at not switching once you kind of go through how you want to handle it. If they go to the park, and they're not switching at the park or wherever they're playing. They're fighting through those. So it's like that's your trigger to them. It's like, hey, we have a place called the Princeton Club, which is like this club kids go to play at. And I go, you don't switch at the Princeton Club, so this should be easy. Switch, you know. And then when we switch, we talk about talk, touch, take. So you the guy's got to yell that the switch is coming, and then the two guys got to touch each other. Otherwise, they can split them, and then you take the guy. So talk, touch, take.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, there's a great YouTube video on it. If you just type in talk, touch, take basketball. I think it was Fran Frisella. Yeah. He did a little clip, it like a 4 minute one. I remember hearing it at a clinic maybe 15 years ago, but we try to break things down into threes so that fit into our kind of premise, talk, touch, take.
Okay. All right. And then the other question, the other one today, I think we're playing a team with a couple guys that can shoot and they have a big. So how would you deal if we're in man, how would you deal with that?
I would double with the other two. Are they smart enough to double with the other two guys?
They could.
Yeah, that's what you just say. You say you two are sticking. It's almost like you can't put in a triangle in two. A triangle in two would be perfect.
I could. They know how. They can do it. They can do a triangle.
Yeah, so I would do the normal triangle in two where you put two on the bottom, one on the tops. We run the other one a lot. The other one where we put one in the baseline and two at the elbow, that stops dribble penetration. But I would do the normal one with them, and then I would have the opposite bottom guy in the triangle two double. When he gets it, double. And then as soon as he gets rid of it, go back. That's an easy double.
Nice. Okay. Yep. Okay.
And then, then the top guy has to drop down. Does that make sense? So you have the two guys on the block.
Yeah, because you're leaving the high post exposed.
Yeah,
basically.
Yep, I'm giving you the high post. I'm gonna give you something if I'm running a triangle in two anyway. Yeah,
I'm giving you something.
I'm giving you that. Yes, and eventually they'll find that, and then you'll have to adjust. But I'm initially giving you that. I'm taking the big boy away, and then before the game, what I would do is I would talk about, you know, when we do this, we're doubling and digging up. Like, don't reach down, because they love calling fouls on little guards when you come down. If you come up, you'll be, we're going to pop some of these and go, because the big guy is going to bring the ball down. This is how you sell it to them. And they love this. So you're going to say, we're going to pop up, and you need to practice it for, or just even talk about in pregame. We're just going to pop up on these, and you guys will get steals and we'll get layups, because that big guy, I don't care how good he is, he's 6'7". There's going to be times when he brings it down to your side, your level, just pop up and you'll get it. It's like trying to watch the Packers play last night, which was horrible, but they're just trying to pop that football out of their hands. The 49ers were, that's what you want to do. You're just popping that out.
Okay. This is amazing, Coach. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. So let me talk about a couple other things. I'll keep you until 8:30 or your 10:30.
10:30.
That's okay.
It's so I just want you to know I'm sitting in my office and there's about 14 inches of snow outside my window right now. So hope you enjoy the weather today.
We're a little cool, but we don't have snow.
No snow.
Oh, cool. Got the seasons. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. The other question, hold on. Got a lot of questions, but turnovers. We are the last 3 out of 4 games. Actually, honestly, I would say for this season, we've been able to win 12 games and probably average 20 turnovers a game. And it's just exacerbated in the last 3 out of 4 losses. Because the competition level, we're in league now, it's gotten a little harder than what I'd scheduled.
Yep.
And so any thoughts on turnovers?
So how are the turnovers happening?
I've got oh my God. Well, I didn't tell you. So my two starting guards were freshmen, and they are right now it's a freshman. I'm going to talk to one of the freshmen after I hang up with you, and I'm going to say, look, this dude has had meltdowns the last 2 games. He just turned 14 in November, but he's precocious. He's very, one day that dude's going to play possibly D1.
Okay.
But he's about 5'10 right now, 5'11, and he just turned 14. His dad's about 6'3.
Okay.
This dude, he's gifted. You can tell. I mean, do you do VPS analytics, value point scoring?
I do. Cause we do Huddle. So we have all our stats broken down.
Yeah. I got Huddle too.
Yeah.
I got Huddle. So this kid's VPS, he had a game where his VPS was a 7. Okay. But now in league, the last 3 league games, he's a 0.7. Okay. And then he has a meltdown Friday night. He goes in, he's crying on the end of the bench. And so I'm going to talk to this kid. And he was saying, I want to play with my friends on JV. I want to play with my friends. And so I'm going to say, look, to me, it's about the basketball experience. This is not about, for me, it's beyond basketball. I want you to have fun. If you're not having fun up here and you want to play JV, go down.
Right. But here's what I would say to him too, though. I would say to him, so you absolutely, if you want to do, because if you leave it to him, he probably will. But I would also word it as, okay, so I know this is frustrating and I know it's hard, but, and then I use the analogy, you can use one from your field, but I use the analogy, like if you're good enough to take calculus, I'm not putting you in algebra class. Now I can put you in algebra class, but I don't think you're going to be challenged, and I think you're going to be bored there. So I understand it's important to play with your friends, and then maybe come up with a compromise. Maybe play a quarter there or a half. I don't know what your rules are in your state. But I said, I mean, that's the way I would word it to him, because you definitely want to keep challenging him, because even though it's frustrating, he is getting better. Because he's being challenged, you know, it's getting that C on that test and going, whoa, I better study for my final kind of thing. You know, I don't know if he'll be challenged. If he's that good, he's not, I mean, it's going to be like,
no, he was scoring 25, 30 points a game on JV. I mean, that's when I brought him up. I'm like, coach, after those 5 guys, my drop off is humongous.
Right. So I wouldn't word it as you could. I mean, I would say, let's talk about this. I know you're frustrated. I'm here to help you. I'm your guide. You know, I'm your Yoda. I'm going to help you through this. How can I do that? You know, what's frustrating about it? I'm not happy either that we're losing. You know, can you, what's your feeling on the team? What can we, I mean, throw it back to him, because at some point if he's that good, at some point, he's going to be the captain of this ship. So the sooner you can build the relationship with him, the better off. I mean, I mean, I don't know the kid. I don't know your 100% your situation, but if he's that good, I wouldn't. I would say try to keep him with you to build that relationship. I really would.
So the rules here in the state are, if on starting every Monday, if he goes down, if he goes up, he can't go down. So let's say, for instance, he only played varsity today.
Right.
He's done for the week in terms of playing JV.
Okay.
Today, he could play JV a half a game, a quarter, whatever. And then he could play in our game at 1 o'clock. So the JV game's at 11:30. He could play at 1 o'clock. But once he plays varsity, he's done for the rest of the week playing JV.
Right.
So he could play JV today.
Right. And then maybe that's the way you pee, like, look, go play with your friends for a little bit and then come play with us. And then let's have a discussion, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if he's that good, I just think he needs to keep hearing your voice, your mentoring, your like fatherly, like, here's what you need to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling you, the best thing about a freshman is they become a sophomore. It's true. And it's like, and those tears are good. Those tears are not bad. You know, those tears are, it means that he's frustrated. Those tears mean he's 14 and he can't control his emotions at this point. And that's what the tears come. I mean, I had one of those in my house. Tears came. It's okay. It means that it's that competitive. That means there's a little bit of fire there. You know, when he gets older, he'll probably get mad more than cry. But that's how he's dealing with his frustration. I would try to keep him with you if you can. How much more time do you have in the season?
We have 8 games, including today.
Okay.
8, and then playoffs, if we can make the playoffs.
Oh, and how do playoffs work in California?
So it's we're on max preps, and we're Division 3. Now, there's 16 out of – there's 24 teams in Division 3. So we're, like, in the middle division.
Okay.
And I think my friend, he said the last time he looked, we were 16. Okay. So we're right on the cusp.
Okay.
Of making the playoffs. So
it's close. So you need a couple wins. Yeah.
You got it. I need a few wins. This is a week that all the teams we play, we should be able to challenge for a win. So I agree with you about the youngster. I'm going to talk to him and I'm going to say, hey, look, play with your JV today. But okay, I got it. That's experience, coach. That's just experience. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the problem is I've done this long enough. If you word it the way you initially worded it, he's gone.
Oh yeah.
He's just gone. He'll go, oh yeah, I want to play with my, and he won't think of, because he's 14. He doesn't think either. Teenage brains don't think like that. So the way you word it is, I know you're frustrated. I'm here to help. Blah, 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 blah. You know, you fill it in because you know the kid better than I do. And then go play with them, then come back and play with us, and then let's talk. Like, I want you to help me with this group. Like, how can we do this? You know, especially if he's one of your better players. You definitely want him on your board. How many seniors out of those top 5?
Okay, so the starting group, well, okay. So without that freshman who I was thinking he wasn't even going to play with us, but now I think you're right. So today it would be the sophomore who's my elite shooter.
Yep.
I've got 3 seniors and a sophomore, junior, and 3 seniors. I've been starting that freshman. So it was freshman, sophomore, junior, 2 seniors.
Okay.
But I don't know if I start that freshman today.
I think there's less pressure bringing him off the bench. Maybe you take a little bit off. That's part of you doing your job. Take a little bit off him. You know, there's a lot of pressure starting. I don't care where you're playing. So I think you maybe take that off and say, hey, here's my thought. You go do that, you know, and the next time you have a Monday game or something like this, maybe the first game of the week, you do the same thing all year. It doesn't matter. As long as you can go from down up or whatever it is. But then
you can't go down. You can't go from up down. You can go down to up, but you can't go.
So every week, maybe the first game of the week, you go play with your friends, and then you come play with us. I'm okay with that. And then you're not starting him, so it's not like he gets a breather after his game, kind of blah blah blah. And it maybe keeps the other senior happier, which is good because you like those seniors to be happy. So I think that's a good thing.
Okay. Okay. How much time should I tell the JV coach to play him today?
Well, what's your rule? I don't even know what your rule is.
Rules? We have no rules.
You have no rules about playing. He can play the whole game.
Play the whole game and then come over and play varsity the whole game.
No.
Yeah. And we have a 35-second shot clock.
Okay, well, that's a whole different discussion, the shot clock.
And we can practice year-round.
Oh, my God. I got to move to California. Okay. I got to move to California. My son's looking at some schools. What is he looking at? Claremont McKenna, Pitzer.
Well, that's a great school.
Yeah, Claremont McKenna, Pitzer, and Occidental are the three that are on his list.
Oh, my God. I grew up right next to Oxy.
Did you like Oxy?
Oh, Oxy's got a huge reputation.
Okay.
One of my friends is an orthopedic surgeon. He went there.
I think Oxy's one of his foundational. He's got really good ACTs. He's taking like six AP. I think Oxy is one that I don't know if he'll get into Claremont and Pitzer. Those are harder reaches.
Those are hard. But honestly, I'm going to tell you, the neighborhood is way better in Oxy. Claremont is out in the friggin' the boonies, man. It is. Well, it's not in the nicest county. Number one, there's a lot of smog. Although it's a great school. I mean, academic, amazing. Oxy's it's in the lap of Los Angeles.
I know. I think if he gets in and we visit, I'm gonna like, oh crap, there he goes.
Dude, he's like 10 minutes from watching a Laker game. Are you kidding?
Is it really?
30 minutes going to see UCLA play. I mean, 15 minutes to go see USC. I mean, he's right in the lap. He's right next to the Rose Bowl. Are you kidding me? You're looking at 10 minutes to the Rose Bowl.
Okay. Well, there's nothing in LA is 10 minutes, but yes.
I know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. That's okay. Yeah, but where he's looking at.
No, but I think the Rose Bowl is 10 minutes. It's literally right up the hill. It's beautiful. But yeah, so those are good. So, okay, what were we talking about?
I don't remember. What were we talking about? I'm having a secret moment.
Oh, how much time do I tell them?
Oh, yeah, the school stuff. Okay, so I would say no more than a half a game. So we play halves in Wisconsin and don't have a shot clock. So it's like totally different. Yeah. We play halves, which is all your team would love halves. Trust me, because of the flow of the game.
We're quarters.
Yeah. So I would say no more than half. I would say first half. You play them what you need to play them in the first half. I would give them at least one or two blows in the first half. But then what I've done is then send them to the locker room with my guys. Like you play the first half and then now you're going to become a varsity player, you know?
Got it.
So then that coach will know I don't have him in the second half. You know, I can burn him whatever minutes I need in the first half. And then he gets, and then that, what that does to him is it gives him a little bit of a break too then. You know what I'm saying? So it gives him a little bit of a break.
Can I have a couple extra minutes?
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead, coach.
All right. Last topic.
Okay.
Practice intensity and running. Okay.
Yes.
So I got these guys, like I told you, I don't have, except for the freshman, he's played club.
Okay.
The other guys are all rec ball players. Okay. So I have little side conversations when I'm talking. So I get them on the line. Okay. 10 seconds up and down the court. Everybody's got to make it in 10 seconds. Okay.
Yep.
I do that a few times, but after a while, it's just taking a practice time. A few times. It might take me more than a few times. So my thinking is this. I'm done with this. On Wednesday, because we have a game tomorrow, today and tomorrow. Wednesday, if I see that, they're getting on the line and they're going to run for 30 minutes and make them remember not to do that again because I'm tired of it. Or their intensity is low. They're not.
My question is, why are you running them? Are you trying to get them in shape? Is it punitive? Why are they on the line?
To get them focused.
Okay. So it's like this is every coach in America's problem, to be honest with you. So what I do is, first of all, it's hard. They're teenage boys. It's really hard to focus them. They live in a Snapchat world. They really do. Okay. So here's what I've done. And this has been successful for me. You don't want to do the 30-minute thing because you got to keep legs this time of year. You can do that early in the season. Don't do it now. It won't work now because the cost benefit's not there now. November or December, that you could have done that. And I do that, you know, but you can't do that now because you're going to lose your legs. You don't want to do that. So what I do is I break practice up literally into 2 or 3 minute segments. Like it's like, we'll go 3 minutes, do 2 or 3 perfect possessions. We move on to the next thing. Small little pieces is better. And then I literally will make them competitive. So I think I've put my starters out in the group together maybe once in the last 2 weeks. I break my teams into two even. We go at it. We'll work on our offense. The one team gets it for 2 minutes. The next team gets it for 2 minutes. We'll keep score. Loser gets on the line and goes up and down once. Boom, 10 seconds. So the competitiveness will go up. The focus will go up. And whatever the punishment is, it doesn't have to be a lot. They just don't like to lose because they're teenage boys. They don't want their friends to show them up. Okay. So that's what I would do. And then I would also keep talking to them. I would stop. I stop practice. I just say, stop. Is this the standard in which we want to play at? No. We need to fix it. How can we do that? Blah, blah, blah. And then we talk about it, and then we go back. So I do that before I get to the punitive, because usually one or two of those resets will get them moving. Then if it doesn't, then I get them on, you know, then I'll do a ladder or something like that to kind of, you know, I don't love running for punitive damages. I do it, but because I have to, because that's the only way I can get through to them. But that's what I would do is, and if you do the competitive things and you do the small pieces and keep score, practice intensity will go up. I promise you. It'll be crazy.
Okay, I know. I got you on that. How long would you do your practices this time of year? Not the day before. Well, give me the day before the game and 2 days before the game. How long would you do?
So when does playoff start?
Like the week after Valentine's Day. The week after Valentine's.
Okay, so you got about a month left. Okay, so I would be at about an hour. Do you watch film and do that with them?
I'm going to start doing film with them because we're going to be going through our second role playing the same team in league.
Yeah, okay.
So when we do that, I want to show them the team that you played the first time.
Yep.
Let's review that game.
Yep. Okay. So what I do is I tend to watch more film this time of year and make practice less. So this time for you with about a month left, so that'd be me, I'd be at about an hour and a half. And I'd be, because you literally have their attention span for 2 hours, maybe two plus.
Right.
So if I'm going an hour and 40 in the court, I got 20 minutes with them in the film room. If I go an hour and 15, then I got 45 minutes in the film room. So I try to use that kind of standard. But I try to make film grow and practice get less as the season goes on. Because again, I'm trying to keep legs. And sometimes I'll go an hour 45, even almost close to 2 hours at the end of the season, but probably 30 minutes of that is shooting. 30 minutes of that is just getting those reps that aren't beating their body up. Because they're mentally tired, they're physically tired. It's not an NBA season, but I compare it to it. You know, for a teenage boy, it feels like an NBA season.
Okay, let me repeat what you just said. So basically, as this time of year, you do more film time, less practice time. You're going 2 hours, but maybe if you go an hour and a half, the 30 minutes are film. If you go an hour and 15, 45 minutes of film.
Yep.
If you go an hour and a half, I missed the part about the shooting. When do you do the shooting?
I do. Well, so sometimes maybe I've done film already for the week and I'm good. Then I'll go, you know, an hour and 50 minutes for a practice, or almost 2 hours for a practice, but I'll spend 20 minutes of that practice or half hour of that practice shooting stuff, doing, you know, post moves, dribble, things that are working on their individual skill work. So it's not beating their body up, like going up and down the court.
Running up and down, killing each other.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to do film and you're going an hour and 50, you'll go 30 minutes of that.
Yeah. Shooting. And then a year later in the season, but moving forward, I would try to get a notebook, something, you know. You know, Bobby Knight has had his flaws, but he was always good about film sessions and keeping it like a classroom. I have a great group. I love this year's group. I love them to death, but they're all friends and they're super chatty. So we've gotten to the point where we have assigned seats in film session and we have notebooks, because I got to keep them like, this is our classroom. I'm trying to teach you something that's going to help you win the basketball game. Just like, you know, in math.
You go through the same thing I do, the attention.
Yeah.
Attention, keeping their attention and it's annoying.
It's a bear. It's a bear. Do you have Snapchat, coach?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So I keep their attention during the week too. Like when we get off, I'll probably send them a Snapchat of a quote of a video. There's a great video out there. I just sent my guys from the pit coach about the difference between great, good and great. YouTube it. It's really good. So I send them like little clips like that, you know, funny stuff with me, whatever. But all that stuff will kind of keep the, then when I'm in front of them and something that kind of matters, but doesn't matter, you know, that I've got there a little bit more of their attention. It's hard. And the thing is, you can't sit and here's what I've learned. Like 20 years ago, I could just literally put a game on and we could watch it for an hour with the team.
Yeah.
I could literally break every piece down. I can't do that anymore. I got to do, here's the offense. Here's their offense. Here's 10 offensive clips. Here's their out of bounds plays. Here's how we defended it. And there are little clips and I have them take some notes. And then I use film sessions to reiterate our stuff. Like it's hilarious. If you ever do it with a binder, it's like, I had them diagram two of our offensive sets up. Well, half of them can't draw a basketball court. So they're sitting there trying to, we use X's or numbers coach or, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's making them process in a different way in their mind. Which is like in my classroom, I want, there's visual learners. There's, you know, the learners that need to write. There's the learners that need to walk through it. So I try to get to every type of learner. Cause I don't know every kid that well, how they learn. But that helps keep the focus, and variety helps keep the focus in practice. Variety, 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 variety.
Okay. Listen, I feel like I've taken up a huge amount of your time. I really appreciate it.
No worries.
I want to know, like, I think I have a lot to learn from you. How often can I do these one-on-one?
Okay, so you're not on Facebook.
I don't. I could get on Facebook, I guess.
That's fine. I don't need you to have on Facebook. So every other week I do office hours, and then every other week I do one-on-one calls. If you need something, just email me. We'll find time. Absolutely. You let me know. Oh, we'll find time. Today worked out great. Normally I'm in class right on a Monday. Normally I'm in class, but today's Martin Luther King, so I'm not at school. So usually I do it nights and weekends. And then obviously after the season, my time opens up a lot more. I pour a lot more into T-Tubes, but we'll make it work. If you've got something, I'll make it work. Don't worry about it. That's why I do this. It's fun. I love talking hoops. Shoot, I'd be out shoveling or something now instead. So.
Oh man, you're awesome. All right. Well, I'll just keep in touch.
Okay, you do that.
I'll keep working hard.
Okay, thanks, Coach. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thanks. Have a good one. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this. If you are, maybe go over and check out Coach Collins' other podcasts, Teacher Side Gig and High School Hoops. Subscribe, like, leave a 5-star review. Maybe. And then also you can go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. All right, have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.